In AD 396, St. Augustine became Bishop of Hippo, a city in North Africa. At about the same time, he began writing a little book called On Christian Doctrine. This is Dr. Jim Tomkiewicz, and you're listening to Wyoming Catholic College's After Dinner Scholar podcast. In the book On Christian Doctrine, Augustine, perhaps as part of his duty as bishop, offers a guide for interpreting and expounding the scriptures. There are certain precepts for treating the scriptures, he wrote, which I think may not inconveniently be transmitted to students, so that they may profit not only from reading the work of expositors, but also in their own explanations of the sacred writings to others, close quote. That is, he produced a practical guide with rules for interpreting the Bible and for explaining the Bible to other people. Along the way, he touched on questions of spirituality, the right use of the things of the world, and the nature of love for God and love for our neighbors. Freshmen at Wyoming Catholic College have been reading On Christian Doctrine with their professor, Dr. Kent Lisnowski, who is our guest on this podcast. Welcome, Dr. Lisnowski. Now, knowing that Augustine began this work at about the same time he was appointed bishop at Hippo, makes me wonder about his intended audience. Was he writing to his priests in training? Who was his intended audience for this?
Well, first, you have to understand that for Augustine, being able to read scripture and know scripture was exceedingly important. In fact, after his conversion, he was asked to become a priest, and he begged for a year, he begged for some time off so that he could go learn scripture better. He didn't want to become a priest until he really mastered it. So I assume that as a bishop, he's very much interested in increasing the knowledge of scripture and the means of interpreting and explaining it to a whole host of folks. Basically, anyone hearing or reading the scripture, monks, holy virgins, for example, St. Antony, he tells a story about St. Antony memorizing all of scripture just by hearing it. So even though he wasn't reading it, he still needs to understand how to interpret it. Any literate lay folks who could either afford scripture or had access to it would be interested, and certainly priests would have needed this information to make the scripture bear fruit in their parishes.
Mm-hmm. In his preface, he addresses possible objections to the book. In particular, he draws attention to people who believe that no rules are necessary for the interpretation of scripture, that any obscure or difficult text requires just, you know, me and the Bible and the Holy Spirit, and we're there. And that's a very contemporary attitude toward the scripture. What does Augustine say in response to that?
Sure. In a certain way, Augustine says, if you can understand scripture with the Holy Spirit alone, more power to you. But the chances aren't that high. And he says, if you are one of these lucky few, you shouldn't begrudge the rest of us. And he gives a few reasons, right? The first is that, look, even if you could understand scripture with just the Holy Spirit, you certainly learned something from people. You learned to read from a person. You didn't learn that from the Holy Spirit, unless, of course, you're St. Rose of Lima or something like that. You certainly learned language by hearing it from other people. So we can't assume that everything we need for scripture comes from the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say also, we have the problem of, if the Holy Spirit is all we need, then let's say you have a person who's having trouble with the scripture. Well, does that mean that they're not holy enough, right? That they don't have enough connection with the Holy Spirit? Is that the problem? So we can't allow that as the situation. So that doesn't seem right. A third issue is he gives plenty of examples from scripture where people in scripture are taught how to read scripture. So scripture itself tells us you should be taught. A couple examples he uses are Peter instructing folks on how to read the scripture. The most famous probably is Paul being instructed by Jesus himself. And maybe another well-known is the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch, right? Who even asks, how will I know this unless someone teaches me? Well, the answer isn't the Holy Spirit at that point, it's Philip. Philip teaches him how to read the scripture. So these are the kinds of examples Augustine would use.
How do the students take to that?
They don't seem to have a problem with it. I think most of the students here, coming from a Catholic background, they hold the magisterium in high esteem. In fact, it seems that if there's a temptation or a potential stumbling block for the students, I would say it's that they don't feel enough competence to read the scripture themselves. They feel that they must somehow read it with some official church document right next to it, otherwise they're going to be led astray. And I think that, so for them, they need to be pushed a little bit into the side of trusting the Holy Spirit.
Well, and so what is Augustine's approach to interpreting the scripture? How does he go about it?
Augustine would say the primary cardinal rule for interpreting scripture is what we would say the rule of charity. So he says, if you read the scripture and you come away with an interpretation that increases your love of God and love of neighbor, then you did all right. Now, of course, he concedes that this may not be the literal meaning of the author. It might not be what that author was hoping to communicate exactly. So in a certain way, you may be off the track. But he says, look, if you make it to the end, right, that's okay. Now, that's not his final rule. That's just where he starts, right? He makes sure that we see the reason we have scripture is to grow in love of God and love of neighbor. And if a person is accomplishing that end, well, then they're okay. However, we shouldn't leave them, right? If you see someone on the wrong path, even though they might get to the right city, you still want to correct them and give them better directions. So he goes on to give better directions such as always use the rule of faith as a guide, right? So there would be no interpretation, literal or figurative, that could possibly contradict the rule of faith. Another would be that if a text seems to suggest an immoral action, well then it can't literally mean that we must do the same action. It must be a figurative meaning there. Though that would kind of summarize his general approach.
And what part does morality or spirituality play in all that?
Augustine has a wonderful synthesis or integration of morality and spirituality into the reading of Scripture. In fact, his structure for the pursuit of understanding Scripture is given to us by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so for Augustine, in order to read Scripture well, you have to do it under the guidance of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So you begin with fear of the Lord, right? If you approach Scripture without thinking God's in charge, you're not going to come to the right conclusion. And then after you start with fear of the Lord, you come to piety, right? This is what kind of humbles you to be docile to the Scripture. And then once you're docile to the Scripture, you come to the next gift, right, which is knowledge. And once you know something in Scripture, what is it you come to know? You come to know what God wants you to do, and you come to know that, well, frankly, you haven't been doing a very good job of it. So at that point, then you come to the next gift of the Spirit, fortitude, right? Which is where you continue to cry out to God for the grace to do what you know you should do. So you see, he gives this, I could go on, but he gives the whole, all seven of the gifts of the Holy Spirit really act as a kind of hermeneutic principles for reading the Scripture. It's a wonderful thing. And then the other piece he does with this is he ties the seven gifts of the Spirit to the Beatitudes. It's brilliant stuff. It's a little section in there in two paragraphs. He integrates the Beatitudes and the gifts of the Spirit and the reading of Scripture into something that every person should read.
Now, does his way of doing it differ from the way we typically go about the Bible interpretation today? I mean, that sounds like just good, wise advice for anyone reading the Bible. Are the interpretive principles different beyond that?
I would say that the modern interpretive principles would focus on what's called the historical meaning, right? So that the modern reader is going to be taught to look for what the human author could have meant to his particular audience, right? That this is really the true meat of where scriptural studies are. What could John have meant to his, you know, late first century community when he wrote this particular sentence? So it sort of drills down, and ultimately it's a kind of limiting approach, because if you go too hard on that and you only zoom in on that, you might never get to, well, what is the Holy Spirit's intention for this? Mm-hmm. What is meant for the whole Christian community rather than simply for the first audience? So that would be a big distinction for Augustine between him and the moderns. He would say, look, we need to understand the literal sense. Well, what are the things being pointed to by the human author, the inspired human author? But beyond that, what's the figurative sense, right? So what are the things pointing at? So for example, you could say the human author is pointing at the sun here, right? In the Psalms, talks about the sun coming forth from a bridal chamber. What does the sun mean? What's it pointing at there? Well, even though the psalmist couldn't, well, unlikely, unless a special gift, couldn't have been thinking, yeah, that's Jesus, right? Even though the psalmist, the human author, probably wasn't thinking Jesus himself, Augustine wants to say that the Son in this context can actually mean Jesus. And it's because it's told to us in different places of Scripture, then we can use it and refer it back to that psalm. Right? And that's something that a modern interpreter would think is maybe almost even fanciful, right? Or a stretch, perhaps, and that they would privilege the historical meaning over that kind of richer meaning.
Although, you know, there's certainly a school of thought that says that all Scripture points to Christ.
Yes, clearly there's a school of thought that does that. And I think that would be a modern return to a patristic and scholastic approach. Right? So basically starting in the mid-19th century all the way till the early and mid-20th century, there was a hyper-focus on this historical approach. There's a theological approach which has come back, and praise God it has, because it's really restored the richness to Scripture that all of it does, in fact, point to Christ.
So can you and I use On Christian Doctrine as a guide for interpreting the Bible today?
I would say absolutely yes.
How would we do that?
Well, there's a number of rules in there that are helpful, but first and foremost, I think what Augustine shows us is that we can be confident about reading Scripture. You know, we can approach the Scripture, we can gather fruit from it, and even when there's difficult passages, we have tools by which to understand them, other than simply, well, let's see what Scott Hahn says. Now, Scott Hahn's great, and we should read what he says, but at the same time, Augustine gives us tools to understand unknown signs or ambiguous signs. It's a wonderful liberating text. It's important that, you know, we say a liberating text because it's part of this liberal arts education. It's giving students and readers, people like you and I, the capacity to make sense of a text based on good intellectual habits.
And my last question was going to be, why is it in our curriculum at Wyoming Catholic College? But I think that answers the question.
Indeed. I suppose the second reason would be, too, aside from liberating the students and giving them good skills, would be that it is potentially the most influential book in the history of scripture interpretation. It's also one of the most important books in understanding medieval culture as it relates to the way they interpreted art and literature of their own kind.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
When interpreting Scripture, Augustine wrote, "First of all, it is necessary that we should be led by the fear of God to seek the knowledge of His will. Next, it is necessary to have our hearts subdued by piety and not to run in the face of Holy Scripture, whether when understood it strikes at some of our sins, or when not understood, we feel as if we could be wiser and give better commands ourselves. We must rather think and believe that whatever is there written, even though it be hidden, is better and truer than anything we could devise by our own wisdom." Close quote. St. Augustine, in On Christian Doctrine, understood the priorities. The wisdom of those words and many other sayings in the book should be taken to heart by all of us who read and seek to understand God's Word, the Bible. Thank you for listening to the After Dinner Scholar. Why not subscribe today? For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.